Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, everyone blamed Charlie whenever something strange happened around the newspaper office. The only problem was Charlie had been dead for years.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Goodness it is. Yes, 855-853-4802, our phone number. If you'd like to share your real ghost stories with us, hit subscribe wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching, wherever you're consuming the program today. We do appreciate that subscribe button pressing that you're going to do right now because we asked you to, because you're really nice, because we love you. And if you don't, really bad things are going to happen to you. So just hit subscribe. Trust me. You don't want to chance this. I'm the voice that's talking to you in your car right now. Yes, you specifically, or on YouTube if you're watching. You don't want to chance this. Press subscribe.
Shit, I don't want to chance this. Yeah, no,
okay. Have you subscribed yet, Carol?
I'm not listening on any platform right now, but I think I'll pull one up.
Bad things will happen.
Shit.
Bad things will happen. It's a new ploy. I figure, you know, high pressure.
Did you think this through before you employed it, or did you just off the top of your head?
I just kind of thought I'd do that right there. Yeah, you know,
it seems to work.
Yeah. So there you go. Appreciate that. Now, good things will happen if you press subscribe. Good, if not, good, well, good. I can't be held responsible.
Nor can I or Todd.
No one can. No,
okay, thank
it's
you.
Completely up to the person who did or didn't press subscribe.
Okay.
And their life choices and the consequences
for their poor
them.
Life choices.
That's what it is.
Yep. So just saying. Okay. So how is everyone?
How are you? That's the question.
Everybody's glad you're back.
Our last episode together. Last time we did this, obviously you weren't there. Time before, you weren't there. Now mm-hmm. You're back, and you've had life-changing things happen.
I have. I have accepted the
the nomination for transportation secretary or whatever's open.
Raise your hand if you knew the bullshit meter was going to go off.
Yahweh, as...
He started a cult in Southern Arkansas.
This will be interesting.
We've now branched out to the Dominican Republic as well with the cult. So there's new branches, and I'm excited to say your donations are what make it happen by viewers like you.
And no, donate I got now married. Or bad things will happen.
Yay! I got married. Yes. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes, I decided after 6 years of being single, maybe it's time. And it was a wonderful wedding. Lindsay had a great time. I had a great time. You guys were all there, and it was just wonderful to have every person that's close to me there. It was great. When our honeymoon went to Mackinac Island and the Traverse City, Petoskey, Michigan area, had a great time. And I have a ghost story.
Ooh.
Involving Grand Traverse Commons, otherwise known as the Traverse City Asylum, which we have talked about on this program many times. Had to go check it out. And so this Grand Traverse Commons is the Traverse City Insane Asylum, or was a multi-building complex. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I think it's like 800 rooms. It might be more. I don't know. It was insane. It was an operation from the late 1800s to about 1989 is when it officially shut down. Gothic structures, beautiful buildings, all brick, very well built, because these damn things are still standing more than 100 years later. It was abandoned then from 89 to about 2004. I went there like the year a restaurant opened in the basement of one of the buildings. And it was at night and it was creepy. I think I've told the story on the air before. The rooms where that were basically cells.
God.
Yes. Had like metal on the wall, like where a chain would have been at one point. It was somewhat disturbing. This is the beautified version of it you see on the screen right now if you're watching on YouTube.
It's ginormous.
That's just one building. There's like 10 or more. I mean, they're huge. And with that being said, there's only, they have a good chunk of them refurbished now, and they're shopping, their restaurants, their apartments, their assisted living, they're all sorts of things. But there's still a handful that have not been finished off yet, and they still sit in their original state of what they were. Got a ton of really good footage, that'll be coming to YouTube shortly. But the ghost story is this. We were having lunch at a place in the downstairs. As we were walking around, it just felt odd. I always feel odd in that building, and I don't really feel very much. She was feeling it too. There was a lot of weird drafts in places where there really should have been a draft, that sort of stuff. Sat down for lunch, and I popped out the old ghost-o-meter thing here. I'll pull it. I'll show you here in a second. This is the one I was using.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's kind of like an Ovilus. I've used it before. I've actually had really creepy luck with this thing in Rienzi Cemetery with Harper years ago. We were talking about stuff. It's on video. I said, if you're around, Harper was holding a K2 meter. Try and go close to the thing in her hand. And it said meter on here, like it was directly responding. And there's a couple other weird things in that I had with this specific app in the past. So we're having lunch and we're sitting there and she's like, turn on that app. Like, all right. So I turn the app on and we're talking. And I had been saying, as we were kind of walking around a little bit earlier, if this hospital, it was a mental health hospital, and it's just very, very drab. It's all brick. You could see that's the color of the brick walls on the inside too. And I mean, can you imagine if you're already, are having problems just staring at those walls endlessly and you can't get out. And I mean, it's interesting, this mental the Traverse City Asylum, they had a philosophy of beauty is therapy. So like the outdoors were an important aspect of it. I think they, in my opinion, kind of probably downplay what reality was there a bit.
Right.
Oh, sure.
Not saying it was horrendous, but, you know, even I think in your best of intentions in those days and that sort of stuff, it's not the greatest, you know, situation. Anyway, can you imagine being in that sort of an environment for that long? And then we're sitting there at lunch and talking about the place, and we're brought out the app, and she said, you know, what, how would you describe, you know, life in here? Boring is what came up. I took a screenshot of it. And then we were continuing the conversation. It was kind of like having lunch with a ghost because we had the app out through most of lunch. And then we said, well, how do you pass the time? Sleep.
Oh.
It was a consistent little pattern there. Then it gave us a name. I forget what the name was. I didn't take a screenshot. And then, I mean, it was active. Like this thing was spitting out shit left and right. And what I found on that app, and I don't know if I believe it or whatnot, but it feels like when you use it initially, you can sometimes get a consistent string that somewhat makes sense. After a little while, it feels like it can be almost overloaded, and it felt like it got overloaded. And I wonder if that's because there's multiple people trying to communicate at the same time, just like multiple people trying to talk to you at once, you know, and you're just getting a word here and there. Nothing's going to make sense.
Right.
Because then it got really, but I'd never seen it spike as much as it did in that building. It was like in the red constantly. And I've had it open around here in the office or wherever before, just out of curiosity. And the day, I mean, sometimes it'll take forever for it to do anything, if it does anything at all. And it was just boom, 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 boom. So that's my ghost story.
Did you stay there too or not?
There's not a hotel there. Okay. But so no, we did not stay there, but there are residences there, and there's, you know, I think apartments and condos and assisted living and all different things. We just walked around, shopped, and I had lunch.
Can you imagine living there now? Like you were at a restaurant for what, you know, let's say an hour and a half for lunch. Can you imagine living in that building all the time?
No, I could not. I mean, I give them credit for saving these structures. But at the same time, I don't know I could live in it. I mean, I think it's great for the restaurants, the shopping. If you can deal with it, you can deal with it. I couldn't even just knowing the pain and the frustration and the suffering and the sadness and the hopelessness that some of those people were feeling in that place, you know, hundreds of people. It's, again, I'm not here to say like it was a horrible place, but no matter what, if you're in that state, in that place, in a place like that, that's what you're feeling, you know, whether they're nice to you or not. And that just permeates it too much for me I'd be thinking that every time I looked around my place and saw a brick, you know. And it's like, oh, that's part of the original structure. You know, you're never not going to see what it was. Hard to live in that.
I'm sorry. What did you say it was originally built for? What type of facility?
It was the Traverse City Asylum.
So these are people who were left there never to leave there.
Pretty much.
Because back then they didn't admit someone to get them treatment and they would leave. And even back then, men could drop their wives off.
Yes.
And say, she's criminally insane and leave her.
Yeah.
And she's perfectly fine. And now she's trapped in this facility she can't get out of. So you know those things happen there.
Well, and I mean, in all the abuse that is rampant in those sort of facilities, mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. even to this day, you know, just the horrors that I'm sure went on behind those walls, no matter how whitewashed the the story is, or someone wants to believe it is.
And they would say those things, like they want the beautification of it because they want it to be beautiful because they didn't have any way to treat people.
No.
So we're going to give them access to fresh air.
Yeah.
That was a big thing back then. Fresh air would cure everything. But it's just interesting to me because, I mean, they had no way of treating any of these people. There were no medications to give them. That's why lobotomies came about. They didn't know what to do with people. So we'll just numb them to everything.
We'll just open up their head and start digging around and see what happens. Yeah.
And they won't respond to anything. Yeah. We'll have no problem with them.
Yeah. So all that would make it difficult for me to live there. There's just a thickness to the thought. I mean, even if you don't believe in the ghosts, just the idea.
Yes.
Too much. It's like living in a cloud, a dark cloud of just, I don't need to be reminded of this every waking hour of my day. I don't think that's
healthy. Agreed. I can do it.
I'm looking up right now. It's if I take the ferry across, which I've never done before, it's a six hour trip.
You have to. You would love it.
Ooh, the ferry really? The Badger? Be fun.
Yeah. Well, there's a quicker one out of Milwaukee, but the Badger is your fun one. It's ghostly, it's creepy, it's everything you'd love.
It's everywhere you want to be.
The Badger Ferry, that's what they refer to it as, the Badger. Yeah.
It's the oldest running steamship on the Great Lakes. It almost got shut down a handful of years ago for the coal issues with it, but it is it looks like it's a ship. You drive your car on it, or they drive it on there for you. And then there's like rooms if you want, but they're very tiny. You really don't need them for 6 hours unless you're doing the overnight. But there's restaurants, or, you know, more like a cafeteria.
Oh my God. A
couple bar stuff.
Cool.
It is so neat. There's nothing like it in existence anymore.
So here's what's going to happen. Now I got to check this place out. It's not that far. Even if I go up to Upper Michigan and back around, it's only 7 hour drive.
Yeah, you know, the Circle Drive.
That's not bad.
Yeah, so I'll do that, and then I'll do my part of the show from there one day.
That would be fun.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That would be fun. Yeah, I mean, that's there. I mean, Mackinac Island is wonderful.
Yeah.
That's filled with ghost stories. We've done several episodes of the Grave Talks about Mackinac Island. I've done a ghost tour walking around there years ago. But I mean, there's so many creepy things around. It's neat. It's such a neat part of the country. Definitely worth doing. I think you would love that, Todd. Do it in summer.
That could also be where our company retreat is next year, right, Carol?
I already said that. I actually said that. I said that the other day. I think I said that to Rob. I said it to somebody the other day.
Me.
Carol. Yeah. To Carol. Yeah. Because it. I've thought of, like, this would be a great place. It would be, you know, easy for you guys to get over to. Mm-hmm. And it would be, you know, I think it'd be real fun to do it up there. And it's a small airport. If you fly, you get in and out really easy. And if you did the ferry or something, it's neat. So I do think like Traverse City would be a fun area to do that at. And there's so many cool, creepy things.
Man, I want to meet up with Todd and then ride with Todd because I want to get on the Badger.
Do it. Come on up.
Yeah. Just fly into Chicago, drive up. That'd be your quickest. I mean, easiest. Or
let's do it in the summer so I can get a Cubs game in.
Yeah.
So I'll get a game in.
There you go. There you go. I think it'd be fun.
Just thinking ahead, Todd.
She loves it up there, too. She was telling me, Lindsay was saying, she's like, you know, I could live here.
Right, until winter comes around.
And then I thought of that, too. Like, I hated it because I had to drive to the radio station, which is now a Taco
That's
Bell.
True. Shut up. Is it really?
That's where it was, is now a Taco
Bell.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I mean, the station exists, but the building is somewhere else. But we were talking about that. And I was thinking, you know, I mean, I did love the area, but I hated having to drive. I don't have to drive anywhere anymore. So I think I could actually handle it. Maybe. I don't know. I would give it a shot. I would give it a season. I think it'd be really interesting to go onto Mackinac Island, actually, and like house sit or something.
Yeah.
For a winter.
Just oh God, to, The Shining again.
It kind of is like, yeah.
It kind of feels like that.
I probably would go mad. It would be, but perfect. I mean, think of all the views.
I was just going to say the content Johnny. Would be great.
The content. Tony slowly deteriorating every day.
And we'd be like talking to ourselves behind your back. And it's like, is he deteriorating? Yeah. We can't totally tell.
He's just doing that. He's typing on his keyboard.
Is he just being Tony or is this deterioration?
All work and no play makes Jack a bad, whatever that is.
I see deterioration. He's just turning around.
You know, he used to be just, you know, so full of life. And now
he's deteriorating. Oh, well, he's on Mackinac Island. We can't even get to him.
And we got tons of views. Pudding. We don't care.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So there you go. There's a little ghost story and some creepy stuff. All right, let's go to a ghost story. This one here, it says, by the fall of 1991, Ben had landed his first full-time reporting job at a small-town newspaper. And by the way, I want to promote, after this story, we have a new sponsor, Action 6 News at 6:06.
Oh, looking forward to this.
And they have quite a new way of helping you get the news you depend on. They have a connection to the other side. Unlike
of course they
any
do.
News organization has ever had before. So that's coming up. Okay, so by the fall of 1991, Ben had landed his first full-time job reporting at a small-town newspaper. It wasn't a big city paper with reporters chasing major stories, but that didn't matter to him. The paper had served the community for generations, and for someone just out of college, it was exactly the kind of place where he wanted to begin his career. The staff wasn't very large. There was an editor, three reporters, a sports editor who also sold advertising when everything slowed down, and the photographer who seemed willing to help with just about anything. There wasn't much money to spend, so everybody learned to do a little bit of everything. If someone was out covering a story, somebody else answered the phone. If something broke, whoever had a free minute tried to fix it. Ben settled in quickly. The first few weeks were spent learning the town as much as the job. Everybody assumed he already knew where things were, so directions usually included churches, grain elevators, or family names instead of road numbers. It didn't take long before he was giving directions the same way. The newsroom had a comfortable rhythm. Some mornings, the biggest assignment was a school board meeting or a feature on the country or county fair. Other afternoons, the police scanner would suddenly come alive, and within seconds, everyone was grabbing notebooks and heading for the parking lot before the dispatcher had even finished talking. Those were Ben's favorite days because they'd reminded him why he'd wanted to become a reporter. About a week after he started, the lights blinked twice before going completely dark. Nobody seemed surprised. One of the reporters looked towards the ceiling, smiled, and quietly blamed Charlie. A few seconds later, the lights came back on and everybody simply went back to work. Ben looked around expecting someone to answer, but nobody did. A day or two later, the photographer came in from an assignment and he couldn't find his keys. He checked his pockets, searched his camera bag, then laughed and said, Charlie must have borrowed them again. He walked into the dark room, came back a minute later, picked up his keys from the corner of his desk and headed back out without another word. Nobody questioned it. Nobody even looked up. A few days after that, one of the reporters was searching the newspaper archive for an old article. After looking for several minutes, he smiled and said Charlie always knew where everything was. And the reporter answered that he probably still did. And everyone went back to doing what they had been doing. That was finally enough for Ben. Late that afternoon, he asked who Charlie was. One of the reporters pointed towards an empty desk against the wall. Charlie had worked there for nearly 25 years and had spent most of his time covering a police beat. He knew just about everyone in town and loved being a reporter. When he died unexpectedly several years earlier, nobody wanted to clean out his desk. There were enough workspaces for everyone else, so they simply left it where it always had been. That was all anyone said. Nobody told ghost stories. Nobody suggested Charlie was still around. Ben looked over at the desk for a moment, thought it was a nice way to remember someone who had meant so much to the newspaper, and went back to work. As the weeks passed, Charlie's name still resurfaced from time to time. If the lights flickered during a storm, someone blamed Charlie. If something turned up after everyone swore they'd already searched for it, someone quietly thanked Charlie before getting back to work. It was never treated like anything unusual. And after a while, Ben stopped thinking much about it. By the middle of November, he settled into a routine of his own. Tuesday nights usually meant city council meetings. Fridays belonged to high school football. If there was a late night fire or a bad accident, he was almost always the one sent to cover it because he was the youngest reporter on staff. More often than not, he found himself on one of the last people in the building, finishing stories while the presses waited downstairs for the final pages. On Tuesday night, a city council meeting ran much longer than expected, leaving Ben less than 45 minutes to finish the lead story before deadline. He hurried back to the office, set his notebook on his desk, poured himself a cup of coffee, and sat down to write. When he reached for the notebook, it wasn't there. At first, he assumed he'd buried it beneath the papers on his desk. He searched everything once, then searched it again. He checked the front counter where he'd stopped to answer the phone after coming in, looked through the archive room, and returned to his desk and searched a third time. Every quote he needed was in those notebooks. Every name, every vote, and every detail from the meeting was written on those pages. Without it, he didn't have a front page story. Frustrated, he walked to the coffee pot, hoping a minute away from the search might help him remember where he'd left it. When he came back less than a minute later, the notebook was sitting in the middle of his desk. It wasn't under a newspaper or tucked beneath a folder where he might have overlooked it. It was lying right in the open, exactly where he'd searched again and again. Ben stood there staring at it. Slowly, he picked it up, looked around the empty newsroom one more time, then sat down and finished tomorrow morning's front page. Ben never told anyone about the notebook. There was always another assignment waiting, another meeting to cover, another feature to write, and before long, the notebook became something Ben only thought about when he found himself working late. During the day, the phones rang constantly, reporters came and went, and the presses downstairs reminded everyone that another edition still had to be finished before the night was over. Charlie's name continued to drift through conversations every now and then, but never in a way that seemed unusual. If the lights flickered during a storm, someone might blame Charlie. If a folder suddenly appeared after everyone had already searched for it, somebody else would smile and thank Charlie before getting back to work. After a while, Ben found himself accepting them the same way everyone else did. A couple of weeks later, the editor handed Ben a feature about one of the oldest businesses in town. As he finished writing it, the editor suggested finding an old photograph of the storefront to run with the story. It was the kind of picture readers always enjoyed seeing, and it would make a nice addition if they could find it. The photographer had already gone home for the evening, so Ben walked back to the newspaper's photo archive and began searching through the filing cabinets himself. Every drawer was carefully organized with envelopes, labels by businesses, event, or family name. He worked through the files one by one, convinced the photograph had to be there somewhere. But after nearly 20 minutes of searching, he still hadn't found it. Well, deadline was getting closer, he finally decided the story would have to run without. He walked back into the newsroom, already thinking about how he'd rewrite the layout with the photograph, and stopped the moment he reached his desk. The picture was lying neatly on top of the papers he'd left behind. It wasn't tucked inside a folder or sitting out from beneath a stack of copy where he might have overlooked it. It was sitting in plain view, perfectly in sight, as though someone had walked over and placed it there while he was gone. It was the exact photograph he'd spent the last 20 minutes searching for. He walked back to the archive one more time, expecting to find another reporter finishing up for the night or the photographer returning for something he'd forgotten. Instead, the room was exactly as he'd left it. The file drawers were still open, the lights were off, the building was quiet except for the distant rumble of the presses downstairs. He carried the photograph back to his desk, finished the story, and never mentioned it to anyone that night. The following morning, he found the photographer cleaning one of his cameras before heading out, off on an assignment. Ben asked if he'd happened to stop by the office the night before. The photographer shook his head and said he'd gone straight home after finishing his last assignment. Ben hesitated for a moment before telling him about the missing photograph. The photographer listened without interrupting, then smiled in a way that made Ben wonder if he'd heard the same story before. He said Charlie had always known where everything in the building was. If someone needed an old article, a photograph, or a file from years earlier, Charlie usually found it before anyone else. Then he looked across the newsroom towards the empty desk and quietly added that maybe Charlie still knew where everything was. That was the end of the conversation. The photographer picked up his camera bag, headed out the door, and started another day like every other one. Ben sat at his desk for a long time after that. He looked across the newsroom towards Charlie's empty desk and thought about the notebook. Then he looked down at the photograph lying beside his keyboard and realized that whatever had happened those two nights, it had never felt threatening. If anything, it felt as though someone had simply been looking after a young reporter. Who was trying to make his deadline. For the first time since he'd started at the newspaper, Ben understood why no one had ever wanted to move to Charlie's desk. Some people leave behind memories. Others leave behind stories. And every now and then, if you were lucky enough to work in that little newsroom, it almost seemed as though Charlie still managed to help write one more edition of the paper.
I love that story.
That was good.
I need a ghost like that. Like if I'm busy and I'm doing something else, I come back in and they finished it up for me. That would be awesome.
Yeah, but
that
then
would be so helpful.
You would end up just leaving the room because you knew Charlie was going to take care of it. And you'd be out in the living room, you know, drinking a beer or something.
Why not? If Charlie's going to do it. I think every workplace needs a Charlie.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
Charlie is named ChatGPT.
There you go.
You might be onto something there.
Kind of is. I mean, in a way, not like finding stuff. I mean, think of the concept of what that sort of thing does, or AI, whatever, Claude. If someone in 1995 was going to tell you, well, Claude will write that. And I'm referring to the AI model Claude. We don't know what any of this is in 1995. And somebody's like referring to something like that. And they're like, you're getting a glimpse into the future, but just a little nugget. Would you not be thinking maybe they're talking about some sort of supernatural power that's able to like do what that stuff can do?
Well, it's also weird listening to the story. One of the reasons I liked it, because of the nostalgia of it, right? The presses downstairs. Yeah. You got a photographer. Yeah. You got to go out with your notebook and take all the notes. I mean, it's almost like the opposite. You almost kind of long for the day when there were 20 people in a newsroom writing a newspaper instead of like two or three guys typing away on stuff that'll, you know, be across the country the next morning.
Yeah. I mean, the personal is gone.
I'm sorry. I actually worked at the Wichita Eagle.
Yeah.
When I was in college, and I worked in classified advertising. We have more people, I would maybe say twice as many people working in classified advertising in the 90s as work at the Wichita Eagle today. The entire Wichita Eagle. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the second floor was retail classified advertising. The third floor was a newsroom. First floor was a presses. It was like this really exciting place because there was, in fact, when Tony and I worked at the radio station together, we had a very active newsroom. And it was really exciting to see those guys kick into gear. It was, you don't really see that these days.
Yeah.
That kind of work, and because, you know, people are writing news stories, it's all coming to them on the internet. They're just finding the information, and very few people are actually going out and reporting it.
Yeah. You don't have the,
it's so important.
You don't have that local connection to so many things anymore. Some places are becoming news deserts. You don't have the news director that's dropping a coffee cup right there and you accidentally grab it and you think it's yours and suddenly you have a bunch of chew that you're drinking. as he runs out to the emergency government center. We had a news director in our old station, great guy, Greg Stensland, but he would chew and his cups were there and it always had the bleh in it. And, I have done that.
Yeah. What did it taste like?
I don't want to know.
Licorice? There was that, you know, there was that kind of like minty, licorice-y smell to it.
Right? I think I don't even remember. I just immediately realized I had made a mistake and it was just like, you know, so you're just immediately spitting. You don't have enough time to really, you know, and then the trauma of it, you black it out in your memory so you never have to experience it again. But yeah. But yeah, I mean, it was fun. It was fun. I mean, there were so many times I remember it's like we were in the studio and all of a sudden he hears something on the scanner and he's boom, he's out the door. And
it was a fender bender, you know, but he still had to cover the damn story. Somebody tripped and stubbed their toe and we'd have to go live with a breaking news update from Elm Street where Margaret Hansen fell and now she's got an ingrown toenail. And then because he would get he'd get audio from her and the audio would be, and she said, ow, I repeat, ow. Yeah.
But it was breaking news was sponsored.
It was. So it was. That's right. Brought to you by
Murray Furniture.
Yeah.
I mentioned the sponsorship for 2 days. We got to find some breaking news.
Yeah. It was local news. You know, it was fun. It was, and by the way, this is, as technology has evolved, you can also say it may have devolved a little bit too, because this new sponsor here, Action 6 News at 6, Action 6 News actually at 6:06 is, they went at 6:06 for some reason. They're finding new ways to report, and it's not using AI. It's tapping into the other side. Here they are.
Tonight at 6:06, Action 6 News rips the veil wide open and brings you stories from a perspective no living soul should ever hear. The only news station where we get our stories straight from the other side. Because the dead don't lie, the damned don't hold back, and the demons never shut up. Exclusive insight from the freshly slaughtered, bullet-riddled ghosts, throat-cut executives, souls still screaming from the car wreck that took them last week. And the charred remains of that family barbecue gone wrong, all lining up to spill the gory, dripping truth. While every other channel feeds you sanitized press releases and smiling talking head lies, Action 6 has coverage no one else dares to touch. Because no one else has the stomach for it. Interviews with the very demons who engineered the chaos ripping this world apart at the seams. We sit down with the horned bastards responsible for the blood in the streets, the screams in your nightmares, the slow rot eating your soul, and the sudden urge to drive your car into a crowd. And we make them confess exactly why they're doing it, how much they're enjoying it, and what fresh nightmare they've got queued up for tomorrow. And only here, only on Action 6 News at 6:06, do we have a direct, flaming hotline to the Dark Emperor himself, Satan. He calls in live from the throne of skulls, laughing as he details how his legions are turning your cities into slaughterhouses, your families into meat, your children into vessels, and your future into an endless barbecue pit of suffering. All for his personal amusement and a little light entertainment on a slow Tuesday in hell. From the politician he possessed to sign that bill that will starve millions while he cackles in the Oval Office. To the demon who made your toaster burn 666 into every slice of bread this morning just to watch you cry. To the archfiend who engineered that plane crash because the in-flight movie offended him and the passengers tasted better when they were terrified. Satan knows every detail and he loves to brag about it in graphic, loving detail. Tonight, a ghost missing half his face and most of his entrails describes the exact moment his business partner slit his throat and how the warm blood tasted on the carpet as he bled out.
A mid-level imp who just finished skinning a kindergarten teacher explains why he made her eat her own students' lunch money while reciting the Lord's Prayer backwards.
Oh,
a senior demon of lust breaks down how he possessed your boss to ruin your marriage and then possessed your spouse to film it. And live from the abyss, Satan himself reveals why your mother-in-law's cancer is spreading so beautifully. Why your dog started speaking in tongues last night, and what fresh hell he's cooking up for rush hour tomorrow that will make the last apocalypse look like a warm-up act. This is coverage no one else's story, soaked in blood and brimstone, and the screams of the eternally damned in sight, from the slaughtered, the possessed, and the prince of darkness himself. The truth they don't want you to hear, because once you know what's really pulling the strings, you can never unknow it, and you'll never sleep again. Action 6 News at 6:06. The station that doesn't just report the news. We have the sources that will drag your soul straight to hell with them. And make you thank them for the ride. Tune in at 6:06. If you still have a soul left to lose. Action 6 News. From the other side.
Wardrobe tonight provided by Du Bois Menswear.
Oh my God. There was like, it will make the last apocalypse look like the warm-up act. Something like that.
Hey, that's coverage you can count on.
That's right.
Right?
There you go.
And I'm thinking of the cute girls that will be delivering that horrific news. Fresh out of college.
Pretty much.
I swear, no matter where you go, all the TV anchors look about the same.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That was funny.
You go. Action 6 News at 6:06. Thank you guys for your support. We do appreciate it.
I bet they win May sweeps or whatever it is now.
Oh my God, how could they go wrong?
How do you go wrong, you know? All right, there you go. If you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, check us out on Apple Podcasts and Patreon. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online and do share your ghost stories with us. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com to do that. Until next time, for Todd and Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.